So now we have all the tools to develop specific algorithms for minimizing this function f, which is the sum of squares of residual functions, over the whole space array. Here we have the gradient, and here we have the Hessian matrix. Okay? And we managed to write them in terms of the Jacobian of this capital R, which is nothing but the vector function whose components are the residuals, and the Hessian matrix of the residual functions. Okay? Somehow we would like to do a Newton method. We learned that Newton methods are fast. Newton methods are fast, but they have a local property. Convergence is guaranteed only if you start from a point which is close enough to the solution, and we don't know what close enough means. I've shown you an example in which this neighbor had a very strange shape in the Rosenbrock function. So, I recall you that if you do Newton method, the direction you compute as an iteration k is the solution of this linear. Let's call it this N. The Newton direction satisfies this system. And we know that the Newton direction is a descent direction if the Hessian matrix is positive definite. Okay? Because if this is invertible, the Newton direction is being the inverse of this matrix times this vector, and if you multiply it by the gradient, which is this vector, that is negative if the matrix is positive definite. Okay? So in general, it may not be a descent method, and we discussed that it's certainly the descent method if f is strictly convex, because this Hessian matrix is positive definite everywhere. Okay, and notice that the linear case that Professor Bevilacqua considered in the previous lecture under the assumption that the matrix of coefficients were at the full rank, maximum rank, was positive definite. Had an Hessian which was positive definite because the function was strictly convex. Okay, what's the issue here? Well, computing the Newton direction somehow requires the computation of Hessian matrices. And in our framework, we have many, one for each residual function. Okay? So computing then might be, let's say, expensive, okay, time-consuming. Well, the idea of the so-called Gauss-Newton method is the following. Well, we would like to do Newton. Computing this amounts to computing derivatives, first order derivatives. This term amounts to computing first order derivatives. This is what balance us, because we need to compute second order derivatives. Okay. Why? how can we simplify the situation? Well, let's try to approximate the Hessian matrix, removing these terms. Okay. If you remove these terms, clearly this is not the Hessian of F. It's an approximation. Is it good or not? Well, it is good if these terms are much smaller than this term. Okay? If this term dominates this. Okay? I mean, I'll show you numbers next week. You will see that this is, let's say, this will somehow will be very big. The order of magnitude, let's say, this, if these are this order, this is 6th power, this is 4th power, this is much more relevant, okay? And you, the approximation is pretty good. So, one possibility is that, well, the approximation is good if all these residual are small, okay, when they are close to zero. Or, if the Hessian matrices have small values, okay, let's say if the norm of these Hessians are small. When does this happen? Think in one variable only, okay? When a function is very flat, okay, the derivative doesn't change much, the first order derivative. So, the second order derivative will be small. Okay? Because the changes in the first order derivative are not much, the derivative of the derivative will be small. Okay? So, this approximation is generally good if residuals are small, or if the residual functions are a bit flat. Okay? Don't grow very fast. So, let's introduce some notation to simplify things. I will call the Jacobian matrix of capital R at xk is jk. Okay? And I will call capital R at xk simply rk. Okay? So that here we would write that the Hessian matrix, that the gradient in xk is it's up there, is jk from 4rk. Okay, this is a matrix, and this is a vector. And the Jacobian is jk transpose jk plus the second order. So the idea of Gauss-Newton is to approximate the Hessian matrix with simply the product of these two matrices. Okay? And then try to do Newton. If you write, if you make this approximation, Newton steps becomes what? Let's say, instead of Hessian matrix, we take this. So it becomes jk transpose jk Then we have the direction we are looking for, and has to be equal to, let's see, minus the gradient, so the gradient is jk transpose rk. Okay? The Gauss-Newton direction is a solution of this linear system. Okay, so the idea is to do hopefully sent method exploiting this direction. First good news, the Gauss-Newton direction is always a descent direction. This is somehow weird because the Newton direction might be not a descent direction. The Gauss-Newton direction is always a descent direction, and I will show you. It's one line rule. Okay, so the Gauss-Newton direction is the solution of this system. Which is an approximation of Newton system. Okay, what does it mean that the Gauss-Newton direction is a descent direction? It means that this quantity is negative. So, let's check what this quantity is. This quantity is the gradient, which we call jk transpose rk, times the Gauss-Newton direction. Okay, so if we want to be completely consistent, let's add also a k here to say the Newton direction at iteration k. Now, Newton direction solves this system of equations. So, we can replace this term by this term up to the time. Okay? So here we can say that since Gauss-Newton solves this system, this is equal to minus jk transpose jk Gauss-Newton direction. And we are almost done. Because you can write this as Gauss-Newton direction transpose, so that's a minus, jk transpose, jk Gauss-Newton direction. Okay? And now, if I put this together, this can be minus jk Gauss-Newton direction all transpose and just manipulating scalar products and transpose. Oh, what we are up to? Vector transpose the same vector, scalar product with itself. So this is minus the square of the normal distance. Okay. So I think we wrote the definition of the condition for a descent direction, and I exploited the system which defines the Gauss-Newton direction. And what I get is that that scalar product is minus the norm of a vector. Okay? And we want this to be negative. And this is negative unless this vector is zero. Okay? So this is negative unless that vector is zero. Let's see when that vector is zero. What does mean that this is zero? Well, let's say this is zero. Let's go back to Gauss-Newton system. It means this is zero. Okay? So it means that this is zero. Okay? But what is that? This is the gradient of f at f scale. So this is actually saying that is the gradient of f at x scale is zero. So Gauss-Newton is a descent direction unless we are in a stationary point. Okay. If we have a stationary point, we know that we stop. So, indeed, Gauss-Newton direction is a descent direction. So we are dealing with the same method. Okay? And we can simply use the general scheme of the descent method. We are in a point, we check if we have automatic condition satisfied. Otherwise, we take the descent direction and we make a step along that direction, a step that for instance satisfies the work conditions. Okay? So, since this is a descent direction, we are exactly in the framework of a gradient method, of the family of gradient methods. Okay? So notice. We started with Newton, we ended up with a descent gradient type method. Okay? And the funny thing is that if this approximation is good, you are roughly approximating Newton method, and so if this approximation is good, you might expect the convergence to be a bit faster. Okay, Newton method is quadratic. Here, you hope that if this approximation is good, you have a pretty fast convergence. Okay? Clearly, if this approximation is poor, the method is still a descent method because it doesn't depend on the quality of the approximation. Okay? But you cannot expect to behave like a Newton method. Because you have built a descent method, which is not a good approximation of the data. But if the approximation is good, you may expect it to be good. Okay? So somehow we can turn this into a formal method. Let's see. Okay. Gauss-Newton method for non-linear least squares is somehow we start from some x0 if the gradient of f is zero, or if we want to write it in our terms, we could write now j k transpose r is zero, then you stop. Otherwise, you compute the Gauss-Newton direction. That means a solution to this linear system. You compute a step tk satisfying the work condition, and you move from xk along the Gauss-Newton direction with a step size tk to get into the new point. And then you iterate. You increase k and you go back to checking whether optimality is satisfied or not. Okay? Really, what I've written you here is nothing but the scheme of the generic gradient method. I have some interesting remarks. Okay. Let's focus once again here. So let's say that the top part of the job is this one, okay? Check this linear system, okay? This one or this one is the same, okay? Does the shape of this system remind you something? I mean, is this shape of this system familiar to you? Yeah, exactly. You remember? Normal question. Were this way when we have the linear system A capital AX equal B. Okay? So indeed this system is nothing but normal, the system of normal equation for which linear system? Okay. Matrix is JK, D equals minus RK. Let's say plus RK equals D. Computing the Gauss-Newton direction is exactly solving this linear system through normalizations. That is, the computation of the Gauss-Newton direction is a linear least squares problem. Okay? So, when we write here this scheme for the Gauss-Newton method, you are saying, I'm doing a gradient method where I compute the descent direction solving a linear least square problem. So here, you can apply any method for linear least squares. Professor Villacqua spent 2 weeks talking to you about this problem and methods for this problem. So we will use the non-linear least square problem to a sequence of linear least squares problems. Okay? So here you can use QR decomposition, singular value decomposition, conjugate gradient, and so on. It means here that the Gauss-Newton direction is the solution of the linear least square problem minimized the norm of the vector, which we turn into one half, minimizing one half the square of the norm. Okay. So, the connection with linearly squared is strong for the Gauss-Newton method. I want you to look at it also from a different point of view. Let's think about gradient methods. You have to minimize some of that, okay? You should remember that a gradient method somehow replaces f of x plus b with its first order approximation. F of xk plus the gradient of f of xk times b. Okay? And if you remember, we want to minimize this linear model all over all directions d which are unitary. Since it's a linear model, you cannot make it unconstrained. And we notice that the minimum is given when you choose minus the gradient as the direction. Okay? So, this is in a general gradient framework. Here, well, our F has a peculiar structure.
Our other act is the thermosphere. Okay? Well, I want to show you that rather than doing this, which would lead to the usual gradient method, well, we could try to approximate each of them with the first order solving. Taylor expansion. Okay. What happens here? Well, you know, here we are doing the first order Taylor expansion of the full map. Here we are doing the Taylor expansion of the receiver functions. And then we plug them in the expression of F. Okay? This will lead to. Okay, let's write this also in terms of our notation. This is RK component I, and this is I erase it, JK with the matrix with roller LI. Okay, so this is row I of that matrix. If I plug that there, I got the sum from I equals 1 to m of Rk I plus Jk ID whole square. Okay. But this is nothing else than the norm of RK plus JK D squared. Okay. If I take the first order Taylor expansion of the receiver as an approximation, this is computed in plus D. What I get is this. My approximation is this. Notice. It is exactly this linear least square. Okay? So, you have two ways to derive Gauss-Newton direction. One is go through this reasoning and this approximation. The other one is applying the same reason which lead to the gradient method, that is approximating the function with its first order Taylor formula, not to the whole function, but to each of the receivers. Okay? What you get is this linear least square problem. Okay? Here we are exploiting the structure of the function. Here, F is n. And the only thing you can do is do Taylor formulas for F. Here, F has this shape, sum of squares. So we can do something different. Taylor formula for each of the receivers. and it leads to these linear least squares. Okay? So this is a different point of view for this approximation. Okay? So approximating f via Taylor formula through the Taylor formula of the residual is exactly the same thing of throwing away the second order terms of the residuals in the Hessian matrix of F. Okay? Well, I think all this view is much more important than proofs. Okay? So I will simply state you the convergence theorem. Notice that when you do Newton method, you do unitary step. Okay? Here we have gone back through this approximation to a gradient type method, and indeed we do not need unitary steps, but we take let's say Wolf type steps. Okay? Well, the convergence of this theorem, of this algorithm, can be deduced from the convergence theorem for a generic gradient method, because this is a gradient method. Okay? So, the question is, under which assumptions do I get the assumption of the generic convergence theorem for the gradient method? And the result is the following. I don't know where to write. There is this part. And let's take the convergence theorem. So let's say let xk be the sequence generated by Gauss-Newton method. If these are the sum. First condition. The self-level set of F at x0 is compact. I mean, the set of x is in Rn such that F at x is less or equal than F at x0. If the function Ri are continuously differentiable, so these are pretty standard assumption. Plus, last assumption is a bit technical. There is this. A positive gamma such that the norm of JKZ is greater or equal than gamma times the norm of Z, whichever Z in Rn you take, and these are these matrices. Okay. Then, as usual, n
accumulation point of our sequence is a stationary point
. What you actually prove is that, as usual, that the limit of the norm of the gradient goes to zero as k goes to plus infinity.
Okay, in the notes you find the proof. Well, there's just one thing you have to prove, okay? And then we stop. I tell you what you prove. Which was the crucial assumption in gradient methods? The crucial assumption in gradient methods was the following. The angle, okay, between the gradient of f at the parent point and the direction dk has to be bounded away from 1/2 pi. The angle must be greater than 1/2 pi, than 90 degrees, and as k goes to plus infinity, it cannot tend to be 90 degrees. Okay, it must be bounded away from the. Do you remember this in gradient method? We had that angle had to be always the same bit larger than 1/2 pi. Okay? That was the crucial assumption in the gradient method. Well, these three assumptions guarantee this property. Okay? So if you look at the proof in the notes, what you will find out is exactly that the proof is a set of equalities and inequalities whose aim is to prove that this angle is always greater than this. Actually, you will always prove that the cosine of this angle is bounded away from zero. Okay? If you look at the notes, you will find that you prove that this cosine is greater equal than a positive quantity, always the same. Okay? And it's proving this. So, I skip the proof, it's just some technical details. And what do you use in the proof? You use that the level sets are compact. And this you will use this to give an upper bound to the norm of the matrix JK. Okay. And then this is fairly technical. And then this last assumption. Okay. Which written this way seems a bit strange. Okay. But I can rephrase this in the singular values of JK's are
uniformly bounded away from you.
So, all the singular values of both these matrices are greater or equal than a positive constant.
Okay? Sorry, it's very, very small. The singular values of these matrices, of the matrices JK, are uniformly bounded away from zero, means they are always greater or equal to a given positive value.
Okay? How do you check this?
Simply take Z to be the right singular vector corresponding to any singular value. Okay? And you get that this is the singular value and this is gamma.
Okay? If this happens, then you are guaranteed convergence. So we stop here for today, and on Tuesday I will show you some applications of least squared problems.